Stream, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a bottle above sea level, and the intergalactic furry studios. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flooded sadism out of your head, and the music just went away. Don't do that. We need more music. Don't turn down the music. Anyways.
Yeah, that's okay.
And, of course, the Freedom Fees is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. And this is Jim Jesus, and I'm joined with Jeremy Heisen, N-word.
Yes.
We can't say it on the air. And there's going to be lots of things for people to say on the air tonight. But we're going to talk about it anyways. So one of the things I love every new year is looking at these erotic sites statistics to see like where the country is in terms of their erotic video thing. So we're going to keep this very PG because it is radio, but some of this stuff is really interesting even on a PG level. So have you ever went through these things any year in the previous?
Yeah, a couple. At first, when you said it at first to me before the show, I was like, what are you talking about? And then once you explained, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's been a couple of years since I looked at one. But, yeah, I have in the past, sure. And it is. They're usually pretty interesting, yes.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen this one this year. So what do we got this year?
Well, it's a new current year, and previous year had some interesting stuff in it. Basically, the big kind of things that they're pushing out of the gate is there's been 92 billion videos viewed last year. That's roughs out to about 64 million a day, and 729 videos viewed every second from one of these. I don't know if I should say the name of it, but it's the initials are PH. so like Erotic Movies Hub. I will say, I don't know if I can say that word. Maybe the board op can tell me. Yeah,
I'm not actually sure.
Yeah,
but it's okay.
So yeah, so yeah, the big things, they're not the most interesting, but it kind of gives you an idea of how crazy everything's getting as far as their online viewing, because now mobile viewing is so easier. Now everybody's can watch this stuff on their phone in the back of a taxi, and people are, it's kind of weird, but whatever.
I've seen people watching it on the train. You know, I try to avoid the city at all costs, but when I do have to go out there, I often hop the train. And yeah, I've definitely caught a couple of people, and I'm just like, oh, you know, listen, I'm all for, you know, when you got to take care of something, I understand, but you know, there are places for that.
It's not on the bus.
Not on the bus, not on the train.
Yeah, I've seen people at work watching these videos, and I'm like, dude, you're at work, you're on the company Wi-Fi, you know they're going to see this stuff. So, anyways, you're still there.
Yeah, I'm here.
So, hours of porn watch, we're looking at, I think it's 4 billion hours, which roughs out to about 5,246 centuries worth of if you were to watch it as much as, if you were to, calculate everybody's watching, then play it continuously, yeah. So the top 20 countries, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm just going to list off some of the big ones. Number one, of course, is the United States. I guess we're number one.
We has degenerates. Woo!
Well, this is just for this particular site. I'm sure there's other countries where other sites are probably more popular. But United Kingdom, Canada, India, Japan, and France, and Germany seems to be the ones that are down. And Germany's down 2 points, which is interesting. But Japan's up 7.
You see, that's interesting. I can't remember what year it was, but whatever year, I think it was one of the last years I looked at one of these, there seemed to be a trend where it was the countries that are very repressed as far as their government, especially if there's like a theological government where they're very, they're very anti porn and stuff. Erotic movies and stuff. If you're anti that stuff, all those countries had very high numbers, so it made sense. Same within like in the U.S. I think it was where like Utah, where all the Mormons are. There was a very large concentration.
Which reminds me, I heard a funny Emo Films joke the other day. It's like, Salt Lake City, you know, Halloween is huge, and plus it gets everybody ready for pressing doorbells. So the most searched for terms. Now, this one's interesting because there's two particular ones that are a little bit disturbing that are kind of making the trend up the list very fast. Number one, you could imagine, would be... what's the term for when two ladies love each other very much, a little bit more, like what mommy and daddy? Yeah.
The technical term? I don't even know which one we're supposed to use anymore. I have no idea.
Homosexual women seems to be,
Well, that seems to be seems a staple, to be I guess.
Well, actually, they were saying that it didn't reach number one until last year.
Really? Which is weird.
I thought that would have been
I guess that's
dominating everything.
Like maybe, yeah, you see that right there. There's a confirmation bias I had because I just assumed that. Because when anybody talks about that stuff, that usually comes up. Oh, you know, all guys watch that and stuff like, you know, like stuff like that. So you figure, okay, that makes sense that it would be.
Yeah, the ones that are climbing up the ranks like crazy are stepsister and stepmom. Stepmom being number two. Then MILF, which I can't tell you what the acronym means, but it's basically older women, teen, and then stepsister, mom, cartoon, hentai, which is Japanese erotic film cartoons.
Yes.
Massage, Japanese, and then Overwatch. And Overwatch is a video game, so people are watching erotic versions of video game characters, which is kind of
weird. Okay, because I had no idea what that was when you mentioned that before. No, that makes sense now, but wow, that is weird. Well, I mean, I guess if cartoons and hentai are up there, why not?
Yeah. But yeah, the stepmom and stepsister is kind of weird.
I guess that usually falls under like that taboo, like more so than any of the other stuff, like that taboo type stuff. So that usually, I mean, in theory, it makes sense to me. I don't know, but I actually find it even more interesting that like, what was that? Like the top, you know, somewhere around the top 12 or so that you're reading from, like that three of them are animated. In the top, like, and if that's trending upward, is that like people finally getting like? Do you think that's people finally getting tired of watching other people? Like, they just have to move on at this point. It's like, well, we've done this already, so
it may have to do with something with the high definition. Now, once you get to see everyone in high definition, it's like,
oh, this is so much better.
Probably a little bit better.
Yeah, right.
Cartoons are not high definition, but you don't get to see all the imperfections. Now, in the United States, stepmom is number one, and stepsister is number three.
Well, there we go.
Woohoo. Yeah, it's a little weird. It's weird for me.
I can't. I'm not gonna argue with you there.
Here's where it gets fun. Here's where it gets fun, because we're talking about time spent per visit. And so you can imagine duration. Probably. So ladies, pay attention. So the Philippines seems to be topping out everyone with 12 minutes, an average viewing of 12 minutes and 45 seconds per visit.
Average. Now is that because of a durational thing, or maybe because so many people have to crowd into one viewing area to watch it at once because they can't afford it more? I don't know.
Yeah, well, this also probably includes people who just watch it all the time as like just a regular form of entertainment.
It just runs consistently on the computer. That's all that's on all day long.
Yeah, but I'm sure that's also kind of balanced with the people who only watch it for 30 seconds. That's all they need. But, the average viewing time is about 12 minutes for Philippines, and then South Africa drops way down to 10 minutes. United States also is about 10 minutes, 30 seconds shy of South Africa. Canada, Australia, United Kingdom. Now, the lowest on the list is Cuba for 4 minutes and 57 seconds. Now, maybe that's because cost of getting on the internet is probably way higher. They probably don't have access to it, or probably there's all kinds of repressive stuff going on there.
They're not allowed to view it.
Yeah. Who knows? Mongolia, Bolivia, Kazakhstan, Colombia, and Belarus seem to be the ones with the shortest duration. So, yeah. And
either that or those people that are so miserable that, that's the only joy they have in their lives. Yeah. So it doesn't, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you only drink once a year, that one drink messes you up real quick.
But if exactly, you drink all the time, you know, your head's about to explode in about 30 seconds, you know.
Now, states. Here we go. In the United States, they're ranking them by states. Number one is Mississippi for 11 minutes and 8 seconds on average viewing per session. Why? What's going on in Mississippi?
Well, they do things a little slower down there.
Oh, yeah. They got that draw a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, South Carolina, and Hawaii seems to be the longest viewing sessions on average. And then at the very bottom, Oregon, really? nine minutes.
How bad must your life be if you're living in Hawaii and you still feel the need to watch that much porn?
Well, not that much, that long.
Oh, that long, for that long.
Yeah, that long.
Oh,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah. State that lasts the shortest is Oregon, Utah, Kansas, Colorado, and Nick. New Hampshire. Nick.
What's up with that?
Nick, three keeners, we're looking at you. What's going on? I think KY just came out with a new product for duration. Maybe they should look at it. Yeah.
Wait, did you say Colorado? Don't we have a couple of fiends in Colorado, too? Wait a minute.
Yeah. We have at least one that I know of. No. We have two. Two. Yeah, the newer fiend.
Yeah.
Let's see. We already went through all that. Favorite times to watch. It seems to be really popular around 10 o'clock to 1 a.m. Big surprise there. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is that by time zone or is that so 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. everywhere?
Question.
Yeah, so I don't know. That was just my first thought. Or do they just pick one time zone and go, yeah, between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. here? I mean, you would assume it would be because that's like the reading of it. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. But yeah, if that is the right thing, that makes sense. Yeah. What else you got?
We'll wrap this up on the second hour as soon as we get back from the market. Wow.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
I actually saw a new show, but I want to talk about the Pornhub statistics from 2016, because it's now a new current year, and previous year had some interesting trends, and we were talking about some of the states that had like the shortest viewing time, the countries with the longest viewers time, what they've been searching for, some kind of disturbing things with the stepchild stuff. But anyways, so now it's time to move on to the Times Watch. We were talking about the peak hours, which is no big surprise, 10 to 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. I was not surprised. There's nothing on here saying that. I'm sure that they're probably calculating it for time zones.
Yeah, like I said, the way it's written, I guess it makes sense that it would be for every individual. But yeah, if that is the time for every time zone, completely makes sense. You know, you're home from work, you're getting ready for bed.
And then it dips down from 2 a.m. to about 9 a.m. and doesn't hit the weekly average until 10 a.m. in the morning. So
when you've got
a lot of people watching that late at night,
so it gets back up to the average around 10 a.m. when you're at work, you've been there for an hour, you've got settled in for the day, and you kick back in the office.
apparently. Yeah. It's like 9 a.m. You have the morning meeting. The boss comes in, says, hi, how you doing? Once he walks away, that's about 10 o'clock. And it's you're like, I'm quote unquote working. Yeah. So the United States top 10 searches. We already kind of talked about some of that stuff. So. But they had a couple of top gaining searches for the United States, which is not things that are the most popular things searched for, but the things that are more searched for than last year. So the ones that are ranked.
Yeah, I was gonna say the ones that have rose in the most spots since last year, essentially, right?
Yeah. So VR, virtual reality stuff, seems to be climbing up at like almost 400%, so 385% more popular of a search than last year.
That would make sense because the technology is getting better with each passing year, so that would make sense that it would become more wanted to, you know, more.
Yeah, and now you have like Google Cardboard, which I don't have you looked at Google Cardboard
I haven't used it. I keep seeing it because I have Google pretty much everything just because I don't care about most of my stuff and I've had it at it for a little while. I'm like, they already have most of my crap, my junk anyway, so I don't really, you know. But I haven't used it yet. I don't really know what it is.
Okay, so Google has like this thing where it's, the one that I found was like $5 that you can go anywhere up to like from $15 for ones actually made out of cardboard all the way up to the really nice ones that go up to like Oculus Rift for thousands of dollars. But it's a thing where you can put your cell phone in or you set it up and then you put your cell phone in like this little box and you hold it up to your face and it's got like two little lenses and it allows you to kind of view VR stuff on your phone. And that seems like it's what's going to be like the future of VR. So I can't remember which company I got mine at, but it was like $5, and you know, I was able to play the VR games, and so there's like 3D movies that you can watch with it, and it's really neat.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that, I guess.
It's really neat. So number 2 and number 5 are burglar and robbers, which is okay. It's kind of a weird search, but it seems to be popular.
It's even more. I think it's even more interesting because like, you know, they're basically the same thing. But if people are searching the two different terms and it just happens to be coming up, like, doesn't that mean that actually that essentially that wins because people are searching those two terms?
Yeah, that should be counted as one.
Which is no, but it's kind of scary. That's even scarier. I think more people. I think that means like twice as many people are than anything else. They're looking for that than more than anything else.
I think they're hoping that more. Like, and maybe I should just rob a house, not to actually steal stuff, but just hopefully get the girl that I'm robbing to go, oh, you want to rob me? I'm going to punish you, mister. Anyways, so number three is Star Wars. I guess Princess Leia. Those buns
yeah.
are sexy to some people. Buns on their head. Right.
Hair buns. Of course.
And then Harley Quinn, which is completely understandable.
Whatever you think of the movie Suicide Squad, they did a terrible. Wonderful. They did a wonderful job with her, with her look. Yeah. It was. Yes, I approve.
Yeah. So the top three categories. Now these aren't the search terms. These are the people that when you go and they have like categories. Top three were the ladies who love each other like mommy and daddy was number one. Black Women Ebony was number two, and three was teen. No big surprise there. Top three stars. The first one I don't understand is Kim Kardashian. I can't stand her.
Didn't she have like one or two videos that got leaked that was like, you know, years ago. Almost a decade, maybe? I don't even know. It feels like forever ago.
Yeah, and two is Mia Khalifa, and three is Lisa Ann, which is... Mia Khalifa is kind of like a Middle Eastern lady, girl, teen, and then Lisa Ann is like an older lady. Pretty cute, but...
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Meow!
we're wrapping up, there's a couple of things I wanted to mention from the statistics. A lot of these things you can't really talk about. But what was the one thing that you wanted me to mention? Because we were kind of talking about some of the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
During the break.
And now I've already forgotten what it was. Because we moved on to the other subject. And I was like, oh, yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
The times, the one part was the obvious one about sports, but the other, there was another interesting aspect about the sporting world and timing that I wanted you to mention. Yeah. Okay. So,
when the World Series was on, or the Super Bowl, or whatever basketball is, the last few games, it seems like there's a big dip in viewership when those things are on, and then once the games are over, there's a spike.
Well, of course.
Yeah,
it's because the losing side is usually either depressed and needs something to do, and sometimes the winner is just, you know. I think I actually saw an individual statistic about that. For it might have been the year before, it might have been 2015, but there was this, it was like directly afterwards there was a spike, and then there was another little one like an hour later, and it was kind of determined that it was like the losers, right, all the teams that lost right away, and the teams that their team lost right away were looking for something to drown their sorrows in. And then like an hour or two later, after the winners went out and got drunk and celebrated and came home, there was another little spike.
That's when they got the spike. But the Olympic ones is a little bit different, because that's when people stopped watching and then went to and viewed these things, especially around the gymnastics.
I can't imagine why. Which I thought
would maybe be, but volleyball you'd think would be.
That
would be the ones that you would want to.
You would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one cares about who wins the volleyball tournament. Yeah, We're all watching for other reasons.
But don't they play the volleyball tournament during the day and everybody's at work during that, and they can't really watch that?
Yeah.
Or they don't watch it as much, maybe. I always thought that was like a daytime one, and then, you know, the gymnastics ones and all those ones are at night, where it's, you know, so they can get the bigger audiences.
Yeah, but Pokemon Go seemed to be a trending search as well.
Oh, really? Well,
you got to catch them all, right?
Well, what's
little girl wearing a Pikachu hat?
Oh man,
it's a little red things on her cheeks.
What's that? what's that? What's that's just wrong. What's that line? If you can imagine it, somebody's already made, you know.
Yeah, Rule 34. If it exists, there's porn of it.
Yeah, that's what it is. Thank you.
And then, of course, Harley Quinn, which is Joker's girlfriend. Anyways.
Again, completely understandable.
Yeah. So you were asking me about, like, what is this key hacking thing? I guess there was an ad for it in the break.
Yeah, there was.
Is that really a thing?
Well, there was an ad to play during the commercials from GCN about a Faraday.
Our wonderful syndicate. Go ahead.
Yes, and it's about a Faraday bag for your key fob. If you have one of those keys that you don't actually need, you know, if you have a car that doesn't need the key to start it up, you have one of those push button ones, so there's the sensors and the little computer chips in your key fob. And I asked Jim, I said, I know it's I know it's possible, but it's not really become an epidemic that people need to be worried about that. And you started to explain to me that there was a show about it, and that it actually is a much bigger threat than I had imagined, I guess.
Well, on the show, I don't remember them doing anything. The show is called, I think it's called Hacking the System, and it's with Brian Brushwood and the other guy from The Modern Rogue, which is a great YouTube channel you should check out. But I guess they had this TV show. I don't know if it aired more than one season, because there's only one season on Netflix. And Brian Brushwood is like he's a magician. He started out as like a magician, and he also does like the skeptical thing where he does like this thing. I can't remember what it's called, something with Bigfoot in the title. And he kind of like does a lot of skepticism and stuff and explains how cons work. And he also has a show called Scam School, and he basically teaches you how to scam people for free drinks at the bar and stuff. It's kind of neat.
He's
show.
The one. He's, okay, I have that one. I've
he used to have the big
of.
Spiky hair. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing one or two of those, but that one I definitely do remember.
And they had an episode about cars and all the things about, like, you know, the big thing, the wires that are under the streets that determine whether or not a car is there to switch the lights and
swap
signals. Mm-hmm. And they had one, they started off the show, I believe, where they actually went to a real parking garage, found a car, he broke into the car and started the car up, stole the car and drove it around. And then, of course, parked it back up and he didn't take off the car for real. But he was just showing how easy it was to steal cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like using these kind of combination of like these weird keys, and you know, he would put it in, jiggle it, take one of the things out, put two of them in there, and basically found one that kind of worked enough to switch the ignition on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all this stuff kind of exists. They're also showing like how you can amplify the signal of your wireless key if you can't find your car by putting it up to your chin, because your brain. Because your big head is a big ball of water, and that acts like an antenna. So
yeah, it is. See, that's funny because that's something that you know that I remember being told about like cell phones back in the day. You know, if you could get a better you'd actually get better service because you get a better connection. And back when service was even much spottier. Oh, yeah. The same type of thing. It's because it creates like an antenna.
Yeah, back when we were worried about. You know, can I use this in the middle of this? Actually, you can use it anywhere now. These cell phones are amazing with their set coverage anymore. It's not even really a thing. So there's these new kind of keyless entry thing. Well, not even keyless entry. It's just keyless everything. You can basically unlock it. You know, it's this little device. It doesn't even look like a key. It just looks like a little... I don't know. It looks like those little earbud things, you know, the Bluetooth things that you stick in your ear, only a little bit bigger, and no ear clip. And it's just a little plastic device, and you press the button, it unlocks the car. And then all you have to do is put it in your pocket, get in the car, press the button to start on your thing. You don't have to pull that thing out or stick it in the ignition or anything. And it just knows that key is inside the car, and you can just drive around with it. So how easy would it be? To kind of take that signal out, figure out what it is, reverse engineer it somehow, and steal that code. It can't be that hard, really, can it?
I don't think so. I mean, I think they've
it's encrypted and stuff, but yeah.
You would think they would have to be, right, to a certain extent. But I imagine it's possible. I just don't know if people are actually doing it.
Yeah. But I'm still sure there's a way to get around the encryption, find out what the encryption code is. Maybe for your car or whatever the thing is.
If somebody is able to hack the computer in your car, you would think that it's got to be possible to be able to hack the key itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it couldn't be that hard. Mm-hmm. Can't possibly be that hard. Well, I'm sure there, you know, they put some stuff in there, but you know, like these video game companies are like, oh, we have all kinds of DRMs, but they're like cracked within the first year. I mean, they did that to the Dreamcast, and the Dreamcast had like this technology, which is basically like a gigabyte disk ROM. And I was listening to a video about this earlier, so it's kind of interesting. But they had like this disk, and there's no way you can make these your own. Like there's no devices that use this for stuff at all. So there was no way of actually copying these discs, let alone making your own copies. But people still figured out a way to get around it somehow, using this little flaw, using some called MIL CD. They just found a way to loop around it. There's always some hole that some hacker can find and hack it. So of course, like maybe using a Faraday bags are kind of like those gold line bags or whatever that make sure that signal can't get in and out. Is that right? Mm.
Yeah, I believe they are gold light, but it's just, yeah, because you know, I mean, it comes from the Faraday. Was it the Faraday cage? I think is the original one. Like it's like the box version, but now they've made them into bags and stuff like that. But yeah, it's the idea is to put it in there that it can protect against stuff like that and protect against everything up to like an EMP blast. I think is supposedly the claim for most of them. That you know, if something that would knock out, that would wipe out. Not just knock out the power, but could wipe out the data on all types of, you know, mobile phones, laptops, you know, any computer, anything like that would be protected if it's in a Faraday cage or bag, something like that.
Yeah. I would say it probably would be a good idea, not just if the Faraday thing, even if that didn't work out for whatever reason, because you still have to take it out or whatever to use probably be a good idea just to have your keys hidden because there was on the show Hack the System, they were also talking about how it was easy just, and they actually did this, they took a picture of someone's keys, just took a picture of it, and they were able to know what the key code was and 3D print their own key using a 3D printer, and now they were like, yeah, now we have access to his front door. Wow. And it was like, Yeah, it's probably a good idea to start keeping your keys in some sort of bag so they can't be photographed at all. Because now that's a thing. That's all burglars need to break in your house is just follow you around for a day, wait for you to set your keys down on the table, take a little picture with their smartphone, and now they can run home, make a 3D copy of your key, and just waltz right into your house like they own it. Like, your neighbors would be like, oh, he's probably just going in there to feed the animal while he's away or something. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, your neighbor's not going to report someone who goes in and has a key and opens your door, right? Because they're going to figure, oh, probably gave him a key. They're, you know, tapping at it with a bump key or kicking the door down. That's when they're going to call the cops, right?
You would hope so, at least.
Yeah.
My neighbors might not. Most of them don't like me, I don't think. But that's okay.
Anarchist dog walker.
Well, no, I'm just, I think I've talked about it on the show before. I became the cranky old man because there was a cranky old man who lived here before me. And I found out like months later that a couple of people didn't real like they had heard he moved out and or I can never remember what like it was him and his wife. They live here forever. One of them passed away and then the other one got sent off to a home and the kids just sold the house. They just didn't want to deal with the house anymore, so they sold it. And I can't remember which one it was, but whatever, they had heard the story that he had either been sent off or he had passed away. But then they thought they had like misheard it because they could have swore that there was still the cranky old man down the end of the block because they still heard people yelling and basically grumbling about get off my lawn and stuff like that. And I was like, no, that was me. Because I was like yelling at kids and like who were like running through the neighborhood at like 11:30 at night screaming, and I was like, guys, really, seriously,
get off my lawn.
Yeah, I didn't actually get to utter the phrase, but there was like, you know, I was out there lecturing these kids, and and yeah, half my neighborhood actually thought that the old man still lived here. Apparently, I did a good job living up to his reputation. Because yeah, I've always been a get off your lawn guy, a get off my lawn guy. That's always been my attitude.
Yeah, what I would have done is, I actually would have gotten out, shaken my fist in the air, and then yelled, "Get off my lawn, you marmots!"
We'll see. Well, I'm prepared now for when it happens again, which I'm sure it is. You know, the kids around here, especially in the summer, they get crazy.
It wouldn't be out of the reach just to shake your fist as well. Because that's the important.
Yes.
If it doesn't work, shake harder, boy.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
So I was scrolling through this list again of the
pornographic statistics.
But there was a disturbing trend a little bit. A little bit. It's disturbing for two reasons, but apparently Trump is a rather popular search on these websites.
Oh. Well. Yeah. That does make sense, actually, sadly. Because they usually do, like, anytime, you know, when the election heats up, there's a spike. And I seem to remember there being a lot of parodies around, you know, in the Iraq. Yeah, well, just in general, just like a lot, like in different, in the past couple of election cycles, I do remember this with like all the, you know, with a bunch of different characters involved, there seems to be, you know, because I guess... people have to draw their inspiration for these for their product from somewhere, right?
So, yeah, and there's, in 2008, in fact, that Lisa Ann lady that we were talking about made her big mark when she impersonated Sarah Palin for a video.
Was that the one that was that the one that's initials were NP?
No, no.
Was it with the Palin? It rhymed with Palin, wasn't that? Wasn't that the first one that came out about her?
Something to do with a hammer.
Yeah.
What you would hit with a hammer.
Yeah, that one.
And that rhymes with
Palin. Yeah, Palin. Yeah, okay. Wasn't that?
I thought. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that
okay.
Was,
okay.
They also had Hillary Clinton, Condoleezza Rice, and Palin having a big.
Wow.
Grand finale at the end.
I did not.
Which gave me nightmares.
I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad I didn't catch that one then, because that's just, that doesn't sound right at all.
Yeah. When the Russians came over, the ones that she could see from her house.
Oh, no.
Came over, that was a pretty decent scene, but that the grand finale was really disturbing. Anyways, but yeah, Trump seems to be one of the really popular search on here, but it's for the reasons you wouldn't expect. I mean, Donald Trump is, even though he's up 874%, it's not really what people are interested in. They're more interested in Tiffany Molina and Ivanka Trump's. But here's what here's what I find disturbing is Tiffany Trump seems to be the number one popular search with 2,548% increase. Melania Trump, 1,538%. But Ivanka Trump is only 1,169, which is... Ivanka's clearly the best of the bunch.
I don't know.
In terms of what I would want to see.
Ivanka's the oldest daughter, right?
Yeah, she's the one with the big teeth, and she's the one that introduced him during his... GOP. Yeah, she's clearly the most attractive of the bunch, in my humble opinion. So why she is third is just beyond me. I don't understand that. Yeah, I've said it on the show before, and I'll say it again. I would do terrible, consensual things to that woman, given the opportunity. But anyways, yeah. So I don't know why people would want to see a video and with Donald Trump, Sarah Palin. Yeah, Trump. No. I could even see someone like Paul Ryan or something like that, someone who's in shape at least.
Listen, hey, someone who's in shape. Ron Jeremy was one of the biggest stars in the erotic film industry history. And but in shape he was, is definitely not something that you could use to describe him.
Well, Donald Trump is well endowed in terms of his wallet. There was a reason why people want to see him.
I know,
doesn't include his wallet.
Yeah, but it's a fetish. It's a, there's fetish things for everything. I'm sure there's people who get into that stuff. Sadly, I don't know.
Anyways, it's a thing, but I don't see Hillary.
Some of those supporters, a lot of those supporters really seem to be in love with him. So you never know.
Yeah, but there is no Hillary Clinton. No mention of Hillary Clinton that I can find on here.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so that's...
Because that's just disturbing.
that's the one thing we can take away from this whole thing, if anything, is that no one wants to see Hillary Clinton naked.
Even in that manner.
Impersonating her.
Yeah, exactly.
Even a cuter milky lady doing it. Nina Hartley couldn't do it 8 years ago, where I didn't have nightmares, so...
Yeah. Yeah, well, because it's a horrible thought. And now I'm gonna go to sleep tonight with it. Thanks, Jim.
Well, maybe one of Bill Clinton's bimbos, you can imagine.
Worms.
Back with more in the second hour. Not more searches. I think this is the end of the list.
Oh, I hope so.
Unless you're really interested in the ones about Croatia.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMF.
Catmuff is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help Catmuff help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at Catmuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. Catmuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting with the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial News Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, probably shouldn't be eating.
Yeah, you should probably stop
while I'm
that
on the radio.
Now.
Yeah.
Bad audio's hate.
Pork rinds so good.
Pork rinds. I haven't had those in forever.
Yeah. Bip caught me, baby. Or did you already bip caught me?
Yeah, I bip caught you. Yeah. Okay. So we're back for the second.
I was too busy crunching.
Yeah. We're back for the second hour. This is Jeremy Heisen, and we're, I think tonight was my name. And and I'm here with Jim.
Whatever Jesus. It is tonight.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we're back. And we were talking during the break on the top of the hour about video games, especially more nostalgic ones.
Feels so good. It's kind of interesting about nostalgia. I heard someone explain it as it's a combination of sadness and pleasure at the same time, which is about right. Yeah. You're kind of feeling sad that all these times are gone, but it feels so good trying to relive it, but you can't reach it. So there's like this kind of
double
balance
sadness.
Between. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but yeah. But I was talking about go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think that's an excellent description of it. I like that. I think that's a good way to look at nostalgia because that's what it is.
Yeah, and I've been kind of reliving a lot of my nostalgia lately with a not so known system called the Intellivision, which was like back in the second generation of video games. The first generation were all Pong machines, and that's kind of boring. It's a really boring subject.
Yes.
the old Pong machines. Which is basically, there's one game, and that's it. And people try to make like different variations of it with like, oh, it's just hockey because now it has a little smaller entry that you have to fight over. It's like,
No, it's a net. It's still Pong, dude. No. Stop.
Yeah,
just
it's
stop.
Still Pong. Yeah.
You can call it ping, pong, pang, whatever. It's still Pong. Get over it.
Yeah, but the first generation of consoles is a really interesting topic because back then there was no standards. There were no quality control. There was no licensing agreements at all. So anybody can make a game for any of these systems willy-nilly and no one could stop it. So a lot of really all the bad things started happening much later after that. But so you had an Atari, right? You were kind of an Atari kid growing up.
Yeah, and I didn't even have what was the big one was the 5800, I believe. Was that it?
Ew.
Yeah. Well, that was the big.
No,
one.
No, the most popular one was a 2600.
Yeah, the little one. That was one I had. Yeah, I had the little 2600. Yeah, that was my first game.
Atrocious. Yeah. Well, that worked most of the time.
I don't think I upgraded it. Like that was my first system. I may have had like I think somebody lent me. What was it? Wasn't the Commodore 64 before that?
That was a little computer one, right?
Yeah, that was like the first thing I had before that, and like somebody lent me that for like 6 months. I think we had it at our house, and then my parents finally broke down and got me the Atari. But they got it like it came like a couple years after all my friends had already had it. Like I was always behind with everything with my parents. They always like to wait and drive me nuts. And and then I think I had that until I finally got my Nintendo, and then I was a Nintendo junkie until PlayStation came out, and then I immediately jumped to PlayStation. I've been there ever since. But yeah, I liked the Atari; it was fun. But you were talking about Intellivision, and I remember it. But I was saying I don't think I've ever seen it. I didn't know anybody who had it. I remember the commercials. I remember hearing about it.
it wasn't that popular. I think they only even at the end of its run, which had a very long run, it was, I think they only ended up selling like 3 million consoles total.
Wow! Which,
in comparison to like Atari, I think it was like 10 times that. It was like 30 million units. So, yeah, big disparity there. Considering that like America didn't even have 3 million people in it at the time. So, it was a little lesser known console, but the people who had it loved it. Like it was big in their house, and they would use it forever. Even after the Nintendo came out, a little bit after the crash that happened was in 1983 or 1984, somewhere in there, the video game crash. But people still love this thing, and this is what I grew up on. I was born in 82, so it came out like a year before. I was born a year before the crash, so I don't remember anything from when I was 1 year old. Nobody does. Say you do, you're lying. I'm sorry. Or you're having some false memories. But I remember growing up before the Nintendo came out. Like I didn't know anybody had an Atari for some reason, which is weird.
Wait, you said you were born in 82?
Yeah.
I didn't realize I'm that much older than you. Gosh, man. because I was born in 77, so I had my first Atari in 82, 83, whatever the 2600 came out. I think that was, I think that's when I had it, because that was later. That came, that they waited on that one. And that's what I had, but all my friends had them. Most of my friends had the bigger one, which I said, I think it was the big boxy one with the brown, like, wooden paneling on the top of it. That was the bigger, better model, supposedly.
Switch. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. most of my friends had that one. So, that was like, the beginning of my trailer park days with all my toys. I always got like a downgraded version of my friends. Looked at my parents like, why do you hate me? And they're like, and usually it would be like, because your friend is an only child, and you have two sisters. Now shut up. And looking back, I'm like, all right, you're not wrong. So sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't have an Atari, and I hadn't even seen an Atari until like years after I had an NES or a Nintendo. So it was like, when I first saw it, I was like, what is this thing? And I remember playing it at my friend's house, like, this is so cool. I mean, it doesn't look as good as a Nintendo or my Intellivision, but this is so awesome.
Games on Atari were great. They were fun. I mean,
was an amazing game.
That's where I learned Pitfall, I think, was an Atari game originally, or it might have been a computer game originally, but it was on the Atari, and that's where I learned about Pitfall. Like, that became my favorite game. Like, I played that game for, oh my God, so many hours. So many hours.
It was also on a television. Later it came out on a television. But I grew up with it. Like, both of my grandparents had an Intellivision. So anytime I went to my grandparents' house, it was like a big thing. Like, oh, we're going to go play television. Yeah, yeah.
See, that's a nice setup. Neither of my grandparents ever did that. I always had to bring my own stuff. And my parents would never let me bring my consoles anywhere.
Yeah. So that's where I kind of grew up with it. And then, like, when the NES came out, parents were right on top. I remember seeing, having it before I even heard about it. So it was just like, what is, we getting a Nintendo? What is that? Like,
yeah, oh, like, no,
they,
see,
got not, it fresh not, when it came out.
Not me. Christmas of 86 is when I got my Nintendo. It hit 85 is where it hit everywhere. Not okay. me. Yeah, 85 was when Nintendo hit, and I got mine in 86.
Yeah.
I had to wait. But yeah, and I played Mario. I played Mario Brothers, the original one for. Oh my gosh, I can't even count the amount of hours I spent on that game.
Yeah, what was it? But those first generation before the second, or no, sorry, the second generation, third generations with Nintendo and Master System and all that stuff. The first generation was interesting because there was like, it was a Wild West. Like, nobody had any standards. If you look at the controller of the Atari, it was little paddle. It was like a little joystick with a button.
Yep.
And that's what everything was until like the ColecoVision and the Atari had like these weird, it looked like a phone. The controllers looked like a phone. It has like a keypad with 1 through 0, and then like, the clear and enter buttons where the pound and star should be on a phone. And then a little disc. The ColecoVision had like a little thumb joystick looking thing. It was kind of weird. And everybody regards those things as some of the worst controllers ever. But there was no standards back then. Like, no one thought, like, oh, if you need a controller, this is how you build a controller, because this is what everybody else is doing. There was no anybody else. It was just there was people like, oh, maybe we can do something like this, you know? And they were regarded as some of the worst ones. But since I grew up with it, that's what I knew a controller to be. And so when I saw the Nintendo thing, it was like, what is this? I don't know what this, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, because I grew up playing Atari with the little, I had I only ever had the little joystick one. I never had the other one. And I also had, and also ColecoVision's another one I never played. Heard about it. I don't think I ever saw it played. but yeah, I used to go to the arcade, and it was basically the same thing, because that's what the Atari controller was designed to be. It was a takeoff on the joysticks and button switches at an arcade. How you play one of those games. That's basically what it was. So yeah, when the Nintendo controller came out, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. There's so many buttons.
Yeah. four buttons.
Yeah, I know.
And a directional pad. That was it.
Yep. But it was a huge improvement for a joystick and one button.
Yep. 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 But back in those days, before the NES, because the NES basically revived the market after the crash.
Yep.
And the reason why the crash happened is because anybody can make a game. Anybody. And there was no licensing. Atari was not getting a kickback from any of these games. They didn't approve it. There was no quality control. So there was a lot of terrible games that were coming out for all the systems, but not so much for the Intellivision. The Intellivision, they were really into quality control. It was like one of the exceptions. ColecoVision as well. But the Atari, like, anybody can make a game. So they were making, like, pornographic, I guess we found out we can say porn, pornographic games, you know, that Atari was like, oh, we don't want this. And there was just so many bad games just being pumped out at all times. And people were going into the stores going, well, why should I pay $35 for this one game, which is really good, when I can pay $35 and get, you know, eight games, because they were like $3 some of them, you know, from the bargain bin, you know. And what are you going to want to bring to your kid, one game or a whole stack of games, you know? So they were looking at it in that perspective. Parents don't know. Parents don't play video games, you know. They're just like, I don't understand any of this. Just get whatever's cheap and, you know, put it in front of them and they'll love it.
Yep.
And, you know, the games like E.T. was one of the ones that people point to. It's not just E.T. E.T. was a good example of it. Pac-Man as well for the Atari. All these games are just terrible. Like, they were terrible ports. They were terrible games. I think E.T. was made in, like, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Back when games took, like, you know, it took you, like, 6 months just to develop the first kind of prototype from an assembly language. This dude knocked it out in 6 weeks. And everybody was like, okay, this is just a fad. We're done buying games. We're done. Mm-hmm. And the kind of whole market fell out from underneath it. And it had to do with the fact that there was no quality control. There was no kind of licensing or anything. If you knew how the system works, and the Atari was actually kind of made out of parts you can buy from Radio Shack. So anybody can make it. It was just like, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, it was very a very simplistic machine.
Yeah. But it was fun.
Yeah. Like I said, countless hours, man. Countless hours.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Meow.
Meow. says,
she's the worst meow ever. So we were talking about video games.
See, that explains why you have to have the best meow in the game, because your cat is one of the worst. Yeah. Gotta compensate, man.
Yeah, she's terrible.
Bring the house average up. You only have the one?
You only got the one. Okay. Yep. Yeah. If I have two, it's just not going to be good. And on top of that, she hates other cats. I tried to have another cat. Did not work. She was not having any. I was like, come on. It's been like 3 months. You still won't
anything to do with her.
She wouldn't let me pet her. Let me pet her. She hated me because of it. So,
wow. Yeah. Oh, no, I understand that. My last cat, who I had for, a good over a decade, he hated all other cats. So, yeah, I get that whole thing.
Yeah. So we were talking in the last break about the old video games, like, second generation.
Yeah.
Because the first generation was Pong consoles. Don't care. That was one game. Just different versions of it, but
yeah. I almost want to call it like the zero generation. Can we just start the first generation with the actual game, the games that actually were like,
yeah. Yeah, the big ones were the ColecoVision, the Intellivision, and of course the Atari, so 2600. There was also the Atari 80 or 58, which was terrible. It didn't work. It broke down. It was just a nightmare. There's a couple other ones, but those were the big players at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like all these kind of licenses going on, especially with the Intellivision, because they were licensing NHL. Like this before, like when this was happening, they were like, wait, you can. There's an official NHL game. Why? Like they're actually endorsing a video game now. Like yeah, like Atari was the first one to go, hey, maybe we should ask NHL if they want to get in on it. And the NHL didn't know what to charge for it. They were like, go ahead, whatever. You got 7 years. We'll give you a non-transferable license. There you go. So now that all these games are coming out, they had to like go in and fix the code and get rid of all the mentions of NHL off the games in order to sell them because Mattel made them. But there's a lot of other games that they can't release anytime they do like a big push on the re-releases because they were owned by Activision. I don't know if Activision is a thing still. I think they are.
Yes.
Activision bought up some other smaller game companies back in the day, including ones that made really good games, like iMagic, I think that's the name of it. They made some really good games. But they can't release any of these games because Activision wants tremendous amounts of money, and they also say, like, we also want half of the royalties. But when you're releasing a package with 8 other companies who also are saying, like, we want half the profits, there's only 2 halves. Yeah. Of the profits, so they can't release all these games. So there's like this intellectual property kind of lockup where they can't release these games. And some of these games were like some of the best games on the system, can't release them,
That's I hate that. It's so unfortunate because there's people lose out because of stupid stuff like that. Why? People can protect their property so nobody can have it. There you go. There's a winning strategy for you.
Yeah, but you can't own something that's rival. That's non-rivalrous. Now, rivalrous means like there's only like a certain amount. So if I sell a card game, right? That's still the Libertarians Against Humanity. You can get libertariansagainsthumanity.com. It's an expansion for Cards Against Humanity. But I have 50 of these decks, and I own the decks. They're my personal property. In order for you to get it, you have to trade with me somehow.
Mm-hmm.
However, the idea of the game, people can make them on their own. All that stuff's out there, so they can print them out. I can't control it unless I use the force of government in order to stop someone from doing that, right? I have to be initiating force to stop someone from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone were to steal my cards, they would have been initiating force by breaking into my apartment and taking my cards and then turning around and selling them. So that would be the initiation of force. But
this is true.
The idea of controlling something like that is kind of impossible. It's not achievable. In order to do it, all these kind of things arise from it where their negative externalities come out of it. Like, for example, there's no way for me to legally own a copy of Burger Time on Intellivision unless I go and find someone on eBay who has it in a cart. I have to go buy all this retro hardware. I don't want to do all that. I have like a little retro pie. I just want to hook my controller up to it and play it.
Yeah.
That would be a lot easier. And if Data East was going to say like, hey, or I don't think they own, I don't think Data East exists anymore, but the company who owns it now, you know, doesn't want to do anything because it's so hard to kind of get the license from Mattel and then to work with the new company. And there's all this kind of licensing stuff, and there's like these lockups where they're not allowed to release them. But I want to own it, and I want to compensate the people who are producing these games, but I can't. The only way to do it is to pirate it. Alleged pirate or whatever, but yeah, yeah. It sucks.
Thanks, government.
Copyright sucks. Yeah. Government sucks.
Objectively true.
It's a science fact.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government license is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPStrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
So we were talking about video game licenses and how they suck. And speaking of licenses, remember those TY Beanie Babies? Ty Beanie Babies?
Yes. Oh gosh, I remember.
I remember that quick little fad. Yeah. Well, ClickHole's reporting that, and this is great, 90s kids rejoice, and it also ties into nostalgia as well, 90s kids rejoice, the spider eggs they used to fill the Beanie Babies are finally hatching.
Aww.
If you were obsessed with Beanie Babies in the 90s, get ready to fall in love all over again, because the spider eggs they used to fill your favorite Beanie Babies are beginning to hatch. This is amazing. Have you heard the story yet?
No.
Okay. Collectors all over the country have been reporting that the long-awaited day has finally arrived, with the brown recluse spiderlings bursting through the seams of the Beanie Babies everywhere. Awesome. For nearly two decades now, Beanie Babies have served as protective sacks for the spider eggs they harbor.
They must be providing a warm... They must be a rare species 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're the brown recluse spider, the piccolo spiders, right? The violent spiders. They have served as protective sacks for the spider eggs they harbor, providing a warm, dark atmosphere for the arthropods to pass through their larval stages. Manufacturer Tye Incorporated confirmed that each Beanie Baby was stuffed with nearly 6,000 spider eggs. Unless they've been storing them in secure, low-humidity environment, they should realistically only expect between 800 to 1,000 spiders to spawn through your Beanie Baby. That's pretty good odds. Yeah. If you're not sure if your Beanie Babies have released the spiders yet, well, you know when your Beanie Babies fur is about to tear open when you see hundreds of little spider forelegs start to pierce through the fabric in an effort to escape. You might even notice little Pugsley or Bongo lurching forward inch by inch as the spiders collectively attempt to break free from their snugly resting place. Aw. Aw. Eventually, the spiders will dislodge through their Beanie Babies' eyes and begin cascading from your brain. Your furry buddy's face, spreading the fun everywhere. to every dark corner and crevice of your home. Once they're free, don't be surprised if the few larger female spiders begin to eat some of the smaller males to assert their dominance, as this is perfectly natural, and it's so cute.
So cute.
But I know a lot of people are probably looking at their Beanie Babies right now, like in anticipation. Please, 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 is this happening? And they're not seeing it yet. But don't worry. If your eggs and your Beanie Babies haven't hatched yet, don't worry. Like this article saying, the hatchling have only been reported from Beanie Babies from the original product line, which means unless you got a Squealer, Patty, Slash, Pinscher's Chocolate, Kooby in your collection, you still might have to wait a while. So, and don't give your hopes up yet. If you have any of the teeny beanies that came with the Happy Meals, unfortunately, these things were filled with plastic beads, and only about 100 or so of the spider eggs. So don't expect much return on those. But yeah. So this is good news. This is great news if you invested in Beanie Babies. You're finally getting a return on that because, you know, I think the floor fell out of the out of the market, but I don't expect it to pick back up right now.
Oh, yeah. Man. I had a friend who was obsessed with those things. It was scary. Like, she had, you know. Like, I actually knew one of these people that was, like, obsessed with them. It was really disturbing to watch up close.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to get that disturbing thing all over again when all these little brown recluse spiders crawl out of its stomach.
Yeah. It's funny because I actually also saw, I can't remember what I was watching, either earlier today or yesterday. I don't remember what it was, but there was actually a video of a court case which I remember, where the husband and wife are on their knees with this giant pile of Beanie Babies in front of them.
They were sorting them out.
Yeah.
No, I get the Jerry Garcia. Yeah,
and I remember when this happened, when the story happened. It was just so, I was crying. I was like, oh my god, I remember this. This was so funny. Like, these people actually, like, they took it to this level.
Yeah, I only knew one person that, like, my mother tried getting into it for a little bit, and she was like, no, I'm done. And it was even before the bottom fell out. It was still when they were still super popular. She was like, oh, I got a couple. I got some from the hat. When the Happy Meals thing came out, she was freaking out. But everything else, she was like, no, I don't need to spend this kind of money on little plastic dolls. But my grandmother had her whole dining room table, a huge dining room table. It was just full. Wow. She could just stack them on top of those things. And then the bottom fell out, and she was like, oh, throw them at a yard sale, maybe someone will want them. Nope. Having to throw them away. Yeah,
which of course I think there ended up being a surge again for them later on, but you know, like, yeah. Everything, it's cyclical. Most fans that make it like that big usually will somehow manage to make it back at some point in time.
Yeah. But, you know, in this regarding this news, you know, she's missing out now. She would have been,
see, she would have been exactly delighted.
Yeah. She had a whole host of new friends.
You would just, yeah, love, you know. Yeah. Oh, man.
So, yeah. You know, that kind of teaches you something. It's like, yeah, this something may be a fad, but, you know, it could have a long-term investment down the road, you know? Just like all those, well, I don't know. I hear people, like, give Ataris away. If you go to a pawn shop, sometimes they'll just be like, oh, you want it? Here, just take it. People still don't want them. That's, yeah, because there's so many of them.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, people end up giving a lot. Like, I think somebody actually gave me a Nintendo at a garage sale I went to. Because my kids are kind of obsessed with garage sales. It's funny. Ever since they were very little and we used to, you know, push them around the neighborhood in their stroller, they always found it fascinating to, like, look at all the stuff at garage sales. So, like, we would, in the summer, we just walk around and stop at these things. And at one of them, yeah, we went to go buy something for, you know, some kids' toy for the girls. And I think they actually ended up giving me most of the stuff for Nintendo because they were just like, yeah, this is just, nobody wants this thing. I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll take it. Yeah. And I actually hooked it up and it worked and it was fun. You know, talking about the nostalgia thing we were talking about earlier, actually, that was, so yeah, that was, my kids were like three, I guess, when it happened. So that was only 2 years ago, maybe almost 3 years ago that I did that. I went through that phase.
Yeah, sometimes you can find some real treasures in going through yard sales because some of these games are, like, super rare. Like, there was I don't know if you remember, but the movie The Wizard with Fred Savage, where he was, yes, in a video game contest, or he had some kid that was really good at video games.
I never watched
a contest. Yeah, they had a contest based on that movie where you had to beat so many levels or whatever, okay. And they made these cartridges for the thing. At the end, if you participated in the thing, you got to keep a copy of it. So there's only like 30 of them, and then the winners ended up getting like a golden one. And there's like 5 golden ones, and they go for like thousands and thousands of dollars. And sometimes you can just find these things sitting in bins somewhere, like, oh, this is just nothing. But, you know, like that little cart, which only plays 3 games for like 10 minutes each or something like that. It's not really fun. But, the collectors want them because they're so rare, and people will, you know, give their firstborn for these things on eBay. It's ridiculous. But, and you can find them at yard sales. People are like, oh, yeah, $5. It's not even really a playable game, whatever. They don't even know about it. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, I just probably gave about probably just gave out the secret now. So it's like.
There you go. Jim ruined everything.
I ruined my own little garage sales. I will find these rare intelligent games. Not anymore. Someone bought them all. Someone found the list of what you should look for at these things. But yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of fun going through like these yard sales and finding stuff. And maybe someday I'll find a Vectrex
or an Intellivision.
It was part of the second generation as well. It was the one that does vertical lines, vector images, vector games, like Asteroids and stuff. And it's basically a little TV, and it's got a built-in controller in it. It's a little one little system where it's just a little TV. Yeah.
See, that's another one I heard of. I think I may have saw. I think I can kind of picture it in my head. So I must have seen like a commercial for it or something, but never knew anyone who had one. Never played. Yeah. I was very limited. I always had like one thing that was always it.
It was one of those rare second generation consoles that didn't have wood paneling on it.
Yeah.
It seems like everything had wood paneling. Television 2.
A
lot of them did have that wood paneling on it.
Well, that was the style. I mean, come on, even the cars. I mean, I remember we had, you know, we had the station wagon with the wood paneling. You know, we had I think one of our first minivan had was like, you know, red with wood paneling.
Ew. I think it only looked good with the avocado green. And even that, it's still kind of ugly. But that's
it was horrible. It was
or black.
I don't know.
With the wood paneling.
Either that's what the market demanded, or that's what they forced upon the market. I have no idea. They're just like, this is what you're getting. I don't know. I mean, it was popular in all the houses. I mean, you look around my house. Yeah. I still have wood paneling all around my entire the better half of my first floor here.
That still kind of lingered around in the early 80s, too. I remember growing up and seeing everything had – the walls had wood – like fake wood paneling on it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the big thing. But at least I wasn't around for the avocado where everything was avocado green, which I remember going into some people's houses when I was a little kid, and it was – or like older people's houses, and everything would be like – that color, and just being like, this is so ugly.
It really scared me, actually. See, mine was definitely, my house I think was definitely remodeled last in the 70s, because not only was it wood paneling, but it was the yellow and orange shag carpet. When I first moved in, that was what was covering the first floor of the house.
Yeah, and the Star Trek chairs.
Yeah. So I quickly ripped all that out. But yeah, the wood paneling stays. I've been here for almost a decade now, and I never bothered to change it.
I wouldn't mind getting a house and then just having every room be like a different decade. like the shag carpet and the avocado green walls in one room. Like, oh, that's my 70s room.
Yeah, see, there you go. Like, that could be interesting. I might be able to dig that. Yeah, then, you have a 60s room. I guess it would have to be like maybe tie-dye with like, you know.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I'd probably go like 80s and 90s. And of course, 90s would have the neon lights and the glass bricks and the pastel colors, teal furniture. Yeah.
Teal. Oh, yeah. That was a really popular color in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah. And when we get back, we'll have a little bit better redemption than, at least we're not living in a teal and avocado green world.
Yeah. That is pretty good, though. I mean, yeah. Gotta say.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, Meow Bit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
You know, because it's so hard to get, like we were talking about, get video games earlier, old video games, retro gaming, Atari age, that sort of thing. Because it's been getting so hard and such a pain in the neck to do. I mean, like Nintendo released a kind of like their own little plug and play console, and yeah. I think they only made like 50 of them. Now they're like going for like $300 a piece, which they retailed at like 30 or something. Because they were getting so hard to do, people just started doing their own thing. So you've heard of RetroPie, right? Or excuse me, Raspberry Pi, right?
I've heard of it. Yeah, I've never actually. Yeah. Again, something else I've heard of, never actually played with or anything.
You should really get a Raspberry Pi because they're so fun to play with. But they're basically this little cart, and it's like an exposed circuits chip thing, and it's got like HDMI out, some USB things, and it's a little computer you can buy for $35.
Mm-hmm.
So. There's no reason why you shouldn't have access to a computer. If you can't afford a $35 computer, don't worry. They have a $5 one, too. They have all different versions of these things. But the newest one is about $35 with ship, not including shipping. But you can find them at Fry's or whatever. And you can basically program your own stuff on it or add stuff. It runs Linux. It's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
But what people have been doing with them is they've been making this thing called a RetroPie, which is an operating system that runs on the system, and all it does is play like these classic video games. And I think they're all the way up to like the Dreamcast, but the Dreamcast emulator they have is kind of buggy. But they have everything almost downwind from that. PlayStation, Nintendo 64, regular Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Master System, and Television, ColecoVision, Atari,
wow.
All of these games. Just you name it, they have an emulator, and they all work great. I think once you start getting up into the older ones like PlayStation, that's when they run into some bugs and stuff. But you know, all the other stuff works great. And I've done that, and it's the only way you can play some of these older games, is if you go on there and download them illegally. Of course, all the ones that I have are legal. I have all the arcade
of course.
boards and the Nintendo carts. You know, I have them. It's fine. Don't bust me. But that's what people have been doing, just going on there and saying, like, well, I can't get a hold of one of these Nintendos. I'm just going to buy a RetroPie for $35. And not only can I play, you know, the 30-40 games that are on this thing, I can get every single game ever made in one little thing that I download off the internet. It's probably only like, you know, maybe not even a gigabyte worth of downloading stuff because their games are so small. Wow. But that's what they can do now. Yeah. And it's kind of neat that that's what people are having to do just to work around these crazy licenses and IPs that these companies are holding on like leeches to. And not only that, but they just not even can't. I remember there was like some interview where they were talking to the guy who owns Intellivision now, saying like Disney wanted to work with them to re-release Tron when the Tron movie came out, and they just couldn't do it because the licensing schemes were just impossible. That not only can Disney not afford to even, or not only could he not afford to work with Disney, but Disney couldn't even afford to work with him in order to do it. So they were at this standstill where they were like, we want to release the Deadly Discs game, but we can't do it because the licensing is such a way that it's impossible for us to work together.
Wow. So,
yeah, but that's what people have to do in order to play these. Some of these games are absolutely brilliant, fun games, even today, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, I've gone back and done it a couple of times. I mean, I still haven't gone back that far, but I think I want to. I mean, you're talking about what you could do with the Raspberry Pi. I'm like, I could find, because I never got in. I was a Nintendo guy, so I never really played the Genesis. Like, I could finally get into playing all the Genesis games. That would be so much fun.
Yep. And it's really easy to do. The software for it is free, open source, GDL, whatever it is, license. So people make their own little variations of it where they change the UI and the splash screen or focus on particular games or improve the ones that are on there. And so you can do whatever you want with it and make your own little system, put whatever games you've missed playing on there, of course, provided that you own the original carts. Wink, wink, and you know, do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, that's well, yeah, I need to do that.
Yeah, just disregard licenses, acquire video games.
There you go, seriously.
Yep. It was a great show. Thank you, Jeremy.
Yes, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and thank you, Michael.
Yes, Michael.
Get well soon.
I know you're listening. And now I want Raspberry. Now I want to go get a Raspberry Pi. And I'm hungry, too, so I think I also want Raspberry Pi. This is going to be very expensive and interesting evening for us. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I should go edit the show now. Before anything else bad happens. Worms.